Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. It's Deacon Thomas Farr, and you are listening to Issues Christian Men's Talk. We'd like to welcome you back. Today is Thursday, the 29th of December, 2016. Amen. And tonight is going to be, this is our last show for 2016. And I pray that everything is well with your family during the season, during this holiday time, celebration. We're getting ready for the new year and for watch night services and prayers and starting a new year fresh. And we're excited what God's going to do and what God has planned for us in this upcoming 12 months. Amen. We have a couple of announcements of upcoming events early in the new year. And also tonight, we're going to be talking about the gospel of Jesus Christ and the importance of sharing that gospel, that the plain, unadulterated gospel, that we might be able to be able to share the gospel and share Jesus with the lives of the unbeliever, and that their lives might be converted and transformed. Amen. Well, I'm going to start with scripture and then prayer, and then we're going to start the conversation. Tonight, I'm reading from Ephesians chapter number 2, starting at verse number 1. And the Word of God says, "As for you, you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you used to live, when you followed the ways of this world, and the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the Spirit, who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving wrath." Verse number 4. "But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realm in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming age we might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus." Amen and amen. Oh, Father, we thank you, God. We thank you today, Lord God. We thank you for Jesus Christ and your Son, oh God. We thank you for the salvation, oh God. We thank you for the sacrifice that was made, oh God. We thank you for the shed blood, oh God. We thank you, God, today as we celebrate the birth of that man as a sinless child from a virgin. But today, God, we remember, God, that even though in the midst of that wonderful event, that child was a child that was born to die for our sins. That child was born to die for the reconciliation of our souls, that we might be reconciled back unto God to spend eternity with him. So, Lord God, we say thank you today. We thank you for what you're doing in our lives. We thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit, oh God, that we will continue to serve you and to read your word, to study your word, and to apply your word to our lives. Continue to watch over us. Continue to strengthen us and keep us. This is my prayer today. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Amen. Well, again, tonight we have some announcements here I'm going to share real quick. First, we're going to start with, we have a man-up event coming. I'm sorry. We do have a man-up event coming. We're still working on it. It's fresh in my mind. It's going to be in spring. As soon as the weather breaks, we're looking at March or April. So we invite you to stay tuned and stay connected with us about that information coming out. But Jesus Lives Ministry in Hanover, Maryland. They're located at 7466 New Ridge Road in Hanover, Maryland. They're having a men's event on January the 17th, 2017 at 10 a.m. Boys to men's ministry. And their topic, they're going to be talking about broken homes. So we encourage you to come out and join us there. You can go on our Facebook page. You'll see the link with the address and times, and we invite you to come out and fellowship with the brothers at that upcoming event. And that looks like, and I'm looking at my calendar, that's our first men's event as part of the Coalition of Men's Ministries that we're having for 2017. And we pray that we're going to have at least one every month. So we encourage you to continue to listen, continue to follow us, continue to check in on Facebook, because as we get the information for upcoming men's events. We will post them all on Facebook, and we will support them and announce them every week here on the broadcast. Amen. Next, the second event for the new year is Winning Souls Evangelist Church presents an evening of elegance. This is a Valentine's event for couples. It's $60 per couple. It's a semi-formal attire. That's going to be on Friday, February the 10th, 2017, at 7:30 p.m. This is the Friday before Valentine's. I believe Valentine's falls on a Tuesday this year. This is going to be a Friday before. We're going to have dinner, live music, spoken word. There's going to be door prizes. There's going to be a photo booth. There's going to be vendors, door prizes. So we encourage you to come out and bring your spouse, bring your fiancé, and spend some time in fellowship with the saints. So that's the Winning Souls Evangelist Church presents an evening of elegance. It's going to be located in Gambles, Maryland, at the Village Commons Community Center. You can call the church to purchase your tickets by calling 609-234-0852 or go to www.winningsouls.org, and that's spelled www.win-souls.org. And get your ticket information there, and also you can again, you can always go to Issues Christian Men's Talk on our Facebook page. The link is there. You can also follow us on Twitter at Issues Men's Talk on Twitter. We have a Twitter there, so you can go on Twitter and find us there and follow us there. And all these events and upcoming men's ministry things will be posted there. Amen? Amen. So tonight, we're going to talk a little bit. We're going to talk about the importance of us as men. First of all, as men, as husbands, fathers, and sons, and also as the body of Christ at large, to be able to preach the gospel. Because in this season, in this Christmas season, you know, there's a lot of people, some people are open to it, some people are still kicking against the prick, as we would say, that we want to forget about the baby Jesus, that we want to do or celebrate a whole lot of other things about the holidays and happy holidays. But without Christ, without the acknowledgement in the culture of the birth of the Savior, of our Lord and Savior, there would be no holiday. So that's one of the things we want to focus on tonight. And we want to be able to share tonight for those of you listening who may not be saved and may not have heard a pure gospel because of, you know, whatever they've been exposed to, like church folk or what they've seen on TV, or they really just haven't studied for themselves. So tonight we're going to touch on it a little bit, that we can give a pure gospel and who Jesus is and why and what we must do to be able to choose him and be saved. We have Pastor Maurice Cornwell from Only Through the Words Ministry. He's going to be our guest tonight, and we're going to share. And hopefully something said today will prick your spirit, will move your heart to give your life to Christ, that you might spend eternity with him. Amen. And you can always, if you're listening online at www.blogtalkradio.com/Deacon Thomas Farr, you can always call in at 646-668-2636. And just press 1 on your keypad, and you can bring you in, ask a question, or join the conversation and share your testimony of salvation. Amen. That's cool. Well, good evening, sir. How are you?
Good evening, Deacon. How are you doing tonight, my brother?
I'm doing very well, brother. Good to hear your voice. I thank you for taking time out of your schedule to join us tonight and touch on a few things here. Because, again, we want to talk about the gospel. And from the scripture I was reading in Ephesians 2, That's one of the scriptures, you know, where it's simple. It's simple for an unbeliever to understand, and for us as the body of Christ, how important it is for us to be able to prepare ourselves. You know, we had this conversation before, but, you know, sometimes folk have been in church for years, and they never really been able to, they never learned how to share the gospel. They've attended church, they've done events, they've done outreaches, but they haven't been able to come up with that thing. I mean, me and you talked about this before, having that 2-3 minute gospel message, that elevator message, that we could plant seed. Because, again, all we are sowers of seed, that God's going to do the increase, but we have to be ready and prepared when opportunity comes, that we know what we believe and why we believe it. Amen? So, bro, I want to start with you about what do you think about that? How important is it that we as the body of Christ and men specifically, how important is it that we are prepared and able to be able to share the gospel with the lost?
Brother Deacon, I do thank you for this topic, and it's my honor to be here with you tonight This is a very important topic, and it's near and dear to my heart because that's the one thing that we've lost in the church. We have great programs. We have great ministries. It's not just the big churches that's having the problems. It's small churches, white churches, black churches, churches that has a lot of money, churches with very little money. It doesn't matter. I'm speaking generally. We've lost our focus on what church is supposed to be for. And so often we get so busy doing the work in the church that we forget to do the doing church work, that is, and the work in the church, that we forget to do the work of the church, the purpose for the church from the beginning. And it's so important for us as men to take this lead. We've been made to feel so uncomfortable as Christians to even breach a subject of Christendom and about Christ. We've been made to say you can talk about everything else but politics and religion, but yet they talk about politics. We've been told leave God at the door. Don't talk about God, but the only God that we don't talk about is Jesus. We talk about every other God, you know, and every other God is glorified. I don't have any problem with any other religion because that's their religion, but we're talking about Christian and men issues right now. When Muslims stand up, that's fine. You know, within a few moments of speaking, a Jewish person will let you know they're Jewish. That's fine. A Buddhist will let you know they're Buddhist. But Christians have a problem. I mean, real Christian, traditional, historically accurate, biblically accurate Christians, ones who stick to adhere to historical Christian truths, not denominational truths, ones that will go through the Bible and say, oops, I was wrong, and then make their adjustments. These are the people that don't stand up these days. And men specifically, we don't lead our homes. We're not taught from a young age the importance of that elevated conversations. Just stopping and ask somebody, let me ask you a question. Are you saved, man? Brother, I know you may have been in church a long time, but how do you know you're saved? And instead of arguing about denominational issues, whether they're baptized or if they're baptized in Jesus' name or the Holy Ghost and Father, Son, Holy Ghost, or if they spoke in tongues or didn't speak in tongues, instead of arguing about denominational issues, let's find out who they say Jesus is. If you don't know who Jesus is from the beginning, it doesn't matter how many times you speak in tongues or not. It doesn't matter if you're baptized in Jesus' name or the Father, Holy Ghost, if you don't know who he is. And so we need to make sure that we, first of all, become familiar on who the Bible says Jesus really is, and he's God. He's not the Father, but he's God the Son. And we need to be real familiar with asking people and be able to have scriptures to back up why we know and believe that he is God. So, yeah, Brother Deacon, I think that is a very, very important topic, and I'm glad you're dealing with Ephesians tonight because it's a very powerful scripture to passage or this verse, this chapter that it is to deal with. Back to you, Deacon.
Amen, sir. So we're going to jump right into this, who Jesus is. We have to understand that scripture talks about scripture talks about in Genesis. You know, one of the things I've learned, we learned a long time ago, is that even in the book of Genesis, there's a mention of a Savior. There's a mention of Jesus. The gospel message is there, even in Genesis. So it's not that it's all New Testament. God had this plan in place from the beginning, from the fall of Adam and Eve, and he had this plan to redeem mankind back to himself. And that's one of the things that we definitely have to share to unbelievers and folk who have not heard the gospel. So first of all, we're going to start with this, Pastor. We're going to start with, who is Jesus and why do I need a Savior? What do you say, sir?
Wow, that's awesome. Well, first of all, we have to accept the fact that the Bible declares that Jesus is part of the Trinity. That's the most important word from a Christian perspective, one of the most important words. Because if we don't understand the three things that the devil will use to trick you up as a Christian, is what you believe, what you testify. One, that God is a triune God. The God that we serve is a triune God. He has shown forth himself as God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. But Jesus never said he's the Father. He said me and the Father are one. But yet and still, he never said he is the Father. In fact, he said there are three that bears record in heaven. And 1 John chapter 3, where it says that Jesus, so there's three. And if you say there's three, then that means even though there's one God, there's one what, three who's. There's one God, and there's three representations of that very same God, that God represents himself as the Father, God represents himself as the Son, and God represents himself as the Holy Ghost. And these three are one in what they are, but not one in who they are. It's not a division, but a distinction. Because if Jesus says, "Behold, I go away and I will send to you another," speaking of the Holy Ghost. He didn't say, "I'm going to come back as another." And then he says, "I don't know, but my Father knows." So there's a distinction between the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, but it's only one God. And we need to understand that one of the most pertinent things is that Jesus is God. He's the very God that breathed in the universe, leapt into existence. The Bible even declares, the Father said, that the world was made by your hands. So there's so much to understand that Jesus is God, and we need to have him as Savior. We can't just say the man upstairs. We can't just say, you know, Jesus. We all serve the same God, because we don't. And that statement does not mean we hate other people who don't accept Jesus as their Lord and Savior. We just realize that it's a different God. I spoke with a really good friends of mine who are of different faiths, i.e. like a friend of mine who's a Muslim, and I share with them all the time. I said, "My friend, I believe that the Quran correctly describes its God or its Allah, and I believe the Bible correctly describes our God or our Allah. The Quran says that Jesus is not God. He says he's only not an angel, but he's only a prophet, where the Bible says that Jesus is God." So we have to respectfully understand that's why we don't fit a square into a triangle. But Jesus is God, and you must be born again. You must accept him as Lord and Savior, the real true Jesus, the Jesus of the Bible, no other Jesus, not any other one that any other denomination, or excuse me, any other religion, or any even supposed Christian religions who have twisted who Jesus is and fight over who Jesus is. Jesus is God the Son. He's the Son of God the Father. He's the sender of God the Holy Spirit. He's the forerunner of God the Holy Spirit. But he is God, and we need him, and we must be born again. And if we're not born again, it doesn't matter what church we go to. It doesn't matter what denomination we belong to. It doesn't matter if we do everything that the denomination says that we must do. If we don't know who he is, we serve a false Jesus and a false God. Brother Deacon.
Amen, sir. Amen. And I believe you're right. That's the foundation of the gospel. That Jesus asked, even asked his disciples, "Who do men say that I am?" And we have to be, as Christian men, as Christians, as lay Christians. Because I want to also speak to my Christian brethren out there, my people of faith, that this is not the pastor's job. It's not the pastor's responsibility. It's our responsibility. Once we have confessed Christ, and once we have become born-again believers, that we are called by Jesus Christ himself to go and teach every nation and make disciples. So you, if you're being discipled, you should be being discipled to go disciple others. It doesn't mean start a church, because that's a whole other issue we can talk about. But as individuals, we are called to spread that gospel message. You know, the church is here for a reason. The church is structured for a reason, with pastors and elders. That structure is there, but that's not the primary purpose of the gathering. Is to train people and send them out. And each of us is responsible, because we're going to stand before God individually. I just wanted to throw that in as accountability piece for the saints who are listening. But now I want to go back to and speak to those who may be on the fringe, who may have heard about church and but not really have it explained to them. So what are we going to, talk about now? What God really wants and why God sent his Son. We have to understand that, as I mentioned early in the broadcast, that it was Adam. It was Adam's sin of disobedience. God told him to do one thing. He did the opposite of that thing. And because he disobeyed God, that's what sin is. Sin is disobedience. I know some people raised in the church, they was taught a whole kind of other stuff was sin. That was going to cast him into hell, but that's not necessarily true. It's the sin of Adam, because now because his sin moves across all of mankind, the whole bloodline of every human being. So every human being is guilty of the sin of Adam, of his disobedience, because he was the first. So that's one of the things that we definitely have to understand in the gospel. So from there, we have to understand what God wants. God wants to restore and build an ongoing relationship with us, because we are his creation. no matter what folks say, no matter what we talk about in science, we have the Darwin and evolution and all these other things, which over the years have been debunked, you know. And when you talk to folk, when you talk to atheists or someone who doesn't believe, and they tell you about evolution, evolution is a theory. It's as simple as that. That's my simple answer for it. It's a theory. It's not fact. But if we look at what Scripture teaches on the creation of man and the creation of races and men and women, that is the truth, because Jesus himself referred to that. So if Jesus was a liar, he couldn't be the Savior. He couldn't be sinless. Amen? But Pastor, Pastor Cornwell, let me go ahead and come back to you. And when we're talking about what God wants from us, it's that relationship. And how important is that relationship that we must come to know who he is, and how important is that we know through his son? What do you say, sir?
Wow. Well, Deacon, that's another perfect question. In order to have a relationship with him, we have to accept the first thing is that we have to accept that God is holy. God is perfect. God is righteous. And because he is perfect, we cannot just presume we can say, okay, I just have a relationship with God. That's it. Because God even showed that a man who walked upright before him, Moses, he could not even stand before God. He had to take him up on a mountain. He says, when I pass by, he said, I'm going to see you. He said, you can't behold me. But what I will do then, go up on a mountain. When you have to turn your face away, and I'll come by you. And when I come by you, as the very end of the very tip of my glory is leaving, I will let you can look up and catch the very end, just the tip of my glory. And Moses did exactly as God said and looked up and saw just the very tip of God's glory. And his faith was illumined. It was lightened. It changed him. It made such a just the presence of God changed him that dynamically. So we cannot just presume we can just have a relationship with God just because, oh, I'm just going to have it. Because the very first thing we have to accept is the fact that we're not worthy. Romans 3:23 says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And because we've all sinned, we all have done things that are displeasing to God. There is no one who is innocent. And if Romans 3:10-18 gives you a whole list of things you can look at, as Romans 3 verses 10-18, just take a look at that list. It just goes through and tell you things that we've done to prove to us that we're not worthy. And it gives a detailed picture of what sin looks like in our lives. And in Romans 5:12 says this, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so that death passed unto all men, so that all have sinned. Because we all have sinned, we have to accept that we are sinners, and there's something wrong with us, and we need to get that right before we can go into God's presence. That's the very first step, Brother Deacon.
Amen, sir. Amen. And I thank you for sharing those scriptures again. For my audience that's listening, you may not be in church or raised in a church, or you may not be saved. But again, if you can listen to the rebroadcast of this show, and get a Bible, and get a study Bible, or a Gideon Bible, or whatever Bible, King James, NIV, and read the scriptures for yourself, and let those words, and meditate on the words of what's being said there. And if you know a Christian friend, or if you don't, you can call in here, you can reach out to us on Facebook, and we'll be able to answer any questions for you, because that's the important thing, that we ever understand what the gospel message is, who Jesus is, what God wants from us, and God's plan for our lives. So it's as simple as that. And when we talk about God, we're talking God the Father. And I want to always say that because, like our pastor, you said earlier, you know, it's the name of Jesus. It's the name of Jesus. I mean, there is no other name under the sun that man can be saved, and it is Jesus. You know, sometimes we have those, what do you call those, those neutral prayers that we call out, we call him God, but it's
mm-hmm.
Christ.
Because
we have to understand that God, his son, he fulfilled Old Testament prophecy, that he was born of a virgin, he's going to be born in a certain place, in a certain time. It's all there in Scripture. Because we have to understand, too, for my non-believers or new to the faith, the whole Bible is the gospel. It's just not the New Testament. The whole Bible speaks of Christ, and it says prophecies. It tells specifically time and place and where Christ, where the Messiah, the Savior, is going to be born, and Jesus meets all those things. So that's what I always say to anyone, especially unbelievers. We invite you to church, or someone, or if you're looking for a church, find out when the church's Bible study is, because that's the best place and time you can go where you can ask the questions that you need. It's going to help you to understand. Because, again, faith is based on knowledge. You know, the Christian faith is not a blind faith. It's a faith, it's a faith based on knowledge and understanding of who Christ is. Because, you know, we have those, you know, Pastor, I'll let you talk about this a little bit. But those emotional conversions, those emotional sinner's prayers, you know, you're pressured in, or it's an emotional environment. But, you know, if you don't know, what do you have to understand. It's like anything else. How can you commit your life to something that you don't really know nothing about? Because it has to be intelligent. It is a hard thing. I'm not going to say it's not, but it's also a heart and mind thing, because the Word of God says that we are to love the God with all our heart and all our mind. So we have to be able to understand. And then when we talk about being born again, it's being born again that now we're going to grow. Because anything that's born and does not grow, there's something, you know, there's something wrong there. If we look at it in any kind of other life that we're talking about, temporal life and natural life, things can be born, but if there's no growth and development, is it really alive? You're listening to Issues Christian Men's Talk. I'm Deacon Thomas Fowler. We're here with Pastor Maurice Cornwell from Uplift Through the Word Ministries in Pasadena, Maryland. And tonight we just wanted to share a basic and pure gospel. We're trying to stay untheological and deep. We're not going to do no Greek and Hebrew tonight, but we are going to want to be able to just let folks during this holiday season, as we celebrate the birth of Christ, and now that is past, to understand that that child that was born on the day we celebrate was going to grow to be the man that's going to be beaten, scourged, talked about, mistreated. He went on trial and was convicted of something he didn't do. He was sinless. He was God and man all in one. He was eternal. He's always existed. He just came as a child to come here on earth, but he always existed, and he now still exists as that in his resurrected body, sitting at the right hand of God, interceding for us. And that's what we have to understand as the gospel, and that's Christianity. And that right there is what you've come to understand and believe. Those facts. These are the facts. These are the understanding and teachings of the Bible. Amen. So, Pastor, let's talk now. I want to keep continuing to share for those who may have, you know, be on the fringe, may have heard it, may know some Christians, may have some Christians in their family. But, you know, sometimes it's hard to minister to those in your family. But how is it important that God, how has God made it that we now have to, it's up to us to choose that our faith is based on, we choose to believe, our choice, that God's not going to come down and bully us and snatch us up. It's us being able to choose him. What do you say, sir?
Wow. Man, Deke, that's awesome also. Here's the thing, man. We have to divorce ourselves from this idea that when you begin to talk about scripture, that all of a sudden you're being churchy. Because that's what the devil wants us to believe. The only thing that we have that can help us is the Word of God. And because we as men, we don't tend to read it, we can only speculate what it says, and we can get into our feelings and our emotions, and we get away from the Word. And then when one of us men begin to read the Bible and start recalling what the Bible says and start reiterating it, what ends up happening is other men will begin to tease us and be, oh, there you go, getting religious again. Oh, you're churchy now, huh? And then what we would do is, oh, no, I'm not. Then you bring those Bible scriptures again. And then, so we begin to back up, because that's what the world does. It makes try to make you feel convicted. But listen, I don't give a rat's earlobe what the world thinks about me. When I was in the street, I did my dirt, and I didn't care what the world thought about me. I did my dirt. And when they caught me doing my thing, I said, I did it. You don't like it? Too bad. Well, now that I'm a Christian, I have enough love for God to say, listen, this is just who I am. And, men, we need to be able to speak the scripture, speak the word, because it's not your opinion. It's not you, what you believe. It's not how smart you are that's going to change anybody. And I'm going to say this. It's not the idea about your denomination or your church, because we have a bunch of churches on every corner. Every mile we have churches, but within between one church over here and a church across the street, the devil's having a party because there's no power, because there's no word. The Bible said, like the chapter that Brother Deacon brought up, Ephesians chapter 2, it says we were quickened and dead in our trespasses or our sins, where in time past we walked according to the curse of the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversations in time past in lust of the flesh, fulfilling our desires of the flesh and the mind, and were by the nature of children of wrath. See, this is who we are. And until we as men accept this, our family is going to continue to go to hell because we don't have anything that we're giving them that points them in opposite direction. And when someone starts saying, oh, you're getting religious, no, I'm getting a relationship. Romans, the next verse is Romans 6:23. He says this, that the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. There's no other way. Then it goes on to say, but God, I'm sorry, it starts off by saying, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. You see, the Bible teaches us there's a consequences for us being in sin and walking in sin, and the devil has blinded us. We're walking in darkness, and we see like a little candlelight as light. We see somebody's phone light as light. But then when we walk out of that darkness and see sunshine, we say, that's not light. That's too bright. Something's wrong with that. And no, there's nothing wrong with that. The thing we were calling light this whole time was darkness. We have to remember this, brothers. It's time for us to stop playing around with church. It's time for men, whether you're white, black, Asian, Hispanic, Native American, become men. Stand up. Go back to the word. And it doesn't matter whether you have $100,000, $200,000, $3,000, $1 million a year salary, or whether you're on welfare. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if you voted for Trump or Hillary. It doesn't matter. None of that matters. Don't argue with other stuff. Go back to what the word of God says. Because the Bible says in Romans 5 and 8, but God did demonstrate his own love toward us, that while we were yet still sinners, while we were still cutting up, I don't care whether you're doing white-collar crime or blue-collar crime or yellow-collar crime or red-collar crime, he said he demonstrated his love toward us, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And because Christ died for us, he paid the penalty of death for us. So therefore, when we come before the Father, remember that relationship we talked about earlier? By him paying that price, when God look at us, men and women, but right now we're talking about men, when he sees us, he doesn't see our sins. He sees the blood. The Father sees the Son's blood. And because God is holy, the Son is God, God is holy also. God is only one God. When he shed his blood and we see God, the Father sees that blood, he sees something that's equal to him. So he no longer judges by our doings and our deeds, and we can't lose it because we didn't pay for it in the first place. He paid the price. And if we realize that, it makes us honorable. It's like going before the judge, and the judge says, you know what, I'm going to waive the penalty, and you're good to go. Now we can have a relationship. Brother Deacon?
Amen, sir. And I want to piggyback that reference you said to court, you know, because even if, you know, we were guilty, what God does, he expunges the record. He expunges it like it never happened. I know we got some brothers out there who understand what I'm talking about. We did some stuff. We got caught with some stuff. We took whatever. We had to plead. We paid a fine. But then there's a process of expungement, so like that thing never happened. So it doesn't follow you. It's not in your record. And that's what God is doing. So, again, it's up to us to choose. We have to either choose Jesus Christ, substituted death on our behalf, or reject it. It's as simple as that. But if you reject it, remember, every man, woman, and child, every husband, father, and son, mother, and daughter, and sister is going to stand before a holy and righteous God and a just God, because he's made a way. And one of the things also that we always have, we deal with when we do an outreach with unbelievers or folk who haven't really heard, it's that, you know, why would a loving God send us to hell? He's not. He's made a way. But then when saying that, Christians, as believers who confess Christ, we are called, again, to evangelize, to disciple, to mentor, to sow seeds. I believe it's Mark chapter 4. We talk about the sower of seed on the different grounds. We're not concerned about the ground. We're concerned about sowing the seed and let God worry about preparing the ground because it's going to fall on all kinds of ground. But are we sowing seed? And I think that should be our main focus as Christian men, that we're sowing seed in our homes, sowing seed in our families, sowing seed in our neighborhoods, sowing seed wherever it is. We're throwing seed. Yeah, that old, that fairy tale, Johnny Appleseed. He just walked around throwing seed. He was throwing seeds. He wasn't even planting them in the ground. He just threw them and been around and tree or whole orchards of busting up out of the ground. You know? So we have to be that kind of mindset when we spread the gospel. And however we do it, as men of God, we can do it with tracts. We can do it in conversation. We can do it through invites. In conversation is one of those things we have to be able to, again, we have to, and to have a conversation with someone, because I know, Pastor, you said about scriptures and knowing our scriptures, but we have to be able to hold a conversation with folk about the gospel. Know what we believe and why we believe it, because a lot of people have a misunderstanding of Christianity and scripture. And then we have to be able to explain that thing, because that could be the hindrance that the enemy has put in their minds or in their hearts. That could be the thing that's blinding them from coming to faith, because no one can talk to them and answer their questions. And that's what God calls us to be. Again, if we're discipling someone and mentoring, we're spending time, we're engaging them where they are to make them understand because God can use that also to prepare a good ground, so when the seed is sown, it can take root and grow. So it's a lot that we should be doing as Christians and as Christian men. And tonight we just wanted to talk about it and encourage your brothers and encourage you wherever you are and wherever you season you're in your life. You've been saved 6 weeks, 6 months, or you got saved last Sunday. You know, because I'm going to touch on that a little bit later, because you have folk been in church a long time and they ain't witnessing so long, they don't even remember how to go. They don't even know where to start. But that's a whole nother show also. Amen? Amen. So I want to real quick, I'm going to reference a verse, because, again, we're talking about, because it's up to the unbeliever to choose. And the scripture I wanted to point out is in John chapter number 3, and it starts at verse number 35. Amen? And it says, the Father loves the Son, everything in his hands. Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life, but whoever rejects the Son will not see life, for God's wrath remains on him. And that's the gospel. It's Jesus, it's the wrath of God, and it's going to be eternal life in a new relationship with God through Christ. I think that's the simplest way I can explain it for anyone to understand. And again, we also encourage you always to go to church, a scripture, find you a church, find a Bible study. You know, you might have, I know most of us have at least one Christian in our family that we can go to and ask these questions. And I pray that they are in a place where they can answer and help you understand. Amen. Pastor, I'm going to come to you real soon. And I want to share a little bit about 1 Peter chapter 2. And verse 24, but I'm going to do a commercial break right here because I need to support. My sister has an upcoming event here. It's Sister Tiffany Jeffers, and she's having an album release coming up on January the 6th, 2017 at 7 p.m. And the name of the album is Say Yes. And she's going to be at the Southern Baptist Church at 1703 North Chester Street in Baltimore, Maryland. You can go on Twitter, and she's a hashtag Team Say Yes, and it's going to be an open free event, but we are asking that you bring a coat or a blanket as an admission, because again, the winter's here. We haven't even started winter here in Maryland. We got up to 60 degrees the other day, but February's coming, January's coming, December, well, December's almost over, but January and February and March, it's coming. And there's still folk out here who don't have winter coats. There's children out here. There's men and women on the streets that can use a coat. So we're asking that you bring a coat or a blanket as your mission to it. Again, that's on January the 6th, 2017, at 7 p.m. at the Southern Baptist Church at 1701 North Chester Street in Baltimore, Maryland. As always, you can go to our Facebook page, Issues Christian Men's Talk. You'll see the link there for the event, and we encourage you to join us and come out with that. Amen. Again, you're listening to Issues Christian Men's Talk. I'm Deacon Thomas Saul. We're here with Pastor Overseer Maurice Caldwell from Uplift Your Word Ministries in Pasadena, Maryland. And tonight we're talking about the gospel, the simple gospel, encouraging the saints to start this new year or this season or today, tomorrow, to be able to start to sow seeds of the gospel. Start to sow seeds of the gospel so that men and women and children can be saved, that families can be saved. And men, I'll say this, that we have to be able to speak to other men, because sometimes men need to hear the gospel from men, need to see men living right, see men who don't necessarily can memorize and recite the word of God, but they're living out the word of God. Because as men, as we know, and when we at our men's fellowships, there's some issues that men go through that the unsaved man thinks Christian men don't go through. We go through the same thing. We have wives, we have families, we have jobs, we are tested, we are pushed. But it's not that we are, don't go through the struggles and go through the temptations, it's how we respond. And that's what was important. Because I can't listen to a brother teach me about the gospel and, you know, he's got three kids by four different women and he's not paying no child support and not taking care of nobody. That's just me. Amen. Pastor Overseer Caldwell, brother, what do you say, sir, the importance of that God's plan? We have 1 Peter chapter 2. And then we're going to go into that we have to be able to, again, I want to encourage everyone, if you're listening, to be able to make that choice. What do you say, sir?
Wow. Okay, and that's so great, Brother Deacon, because in our lives as men, again, you are very, very right. We need to have what I would call an elevator speech or an elevator salvation conversation, because a simple conversation can be something like, hey, can I ask you a question? And brothers, please don't think you have to become perfect at being a preacher or a deacon or a minister, because I'm going to tell you right now, everybody, we have way too many titles and so little work being done, so little transformation. We need to get back to the basics. For example, you can just say, hey, can I ask you a question real quick, brother? Have you ever told a lie? Are you born again? Well, the guy says, well, I don't really believe in God. Like, okay, let me ask you a question real simple. Well, I believe in God, but I believe, I'm on the phone. If you say, I believe in God, but, you know, I believe we all going to heaven. Okay, let me ask you a question. Have you ever told a lie? Everybody will say, well, yes. Okay, what does that make you? Well, a liar. Have you ever stolen anything? Well, I mean, yeah. Even small, like an ink pen. The answer is, well, yeah. Okay, then what does that make you? A thief. Okay. Have you ever looked at somebody and desired to have sex with them? Male, female, old, young, it doesn't matter. I'm not judging about anything, but I'm asking you, have you ever looked at anybody and desired to have sex outside of marriage? Well, yeah. And if they say, well, no. Well, wait a minute. You already said you're a liar. Come on now. La ha ha. And they'll laugh. Okay. So what do you think, according to the Word of God, according to the Bible, God is holy. He will not accept holiness, anything unholy into his presence. If you just not admit that you're a lying, thieving, blasphemous person or just an adulterer or fornicator in your mind and heart, the Bible's be done in your heart and mind, you're guilty. What do you see going in? The person will have to stop and feel and think about what you just said. And when they think about it, they have to come back and say, oh, I guess I'll go to heaven. If they don't accept, well, I still believe I'm going to heaven. Well, according to the Word of God, no liar shall see me in heaven. According to the Word of God, no sin will make it into heaven. So according to your confession, you lied, you've stolen something, and you've been a fornicator or adulterer, and you probably have you ever used God's name in vain? They go, well, yeah. Well, then according to that, you're a blasphemer. So according to the Word of God, you're going to hell. Now, that's what's missing from the gospel in churches all day, all the time. Because the only thing we ever do is somebody, you need to accept Jesus. Jesus loves you. Come to Jesus. He loves you. He loves you. They go, okay, I'll take that. Yeah, I'll take some love. He'll forgive you of all your sins. Come on, okay, hey, I'll take that. But there's never a conviction. There's never a true conversion. There's never any breaking. And because they don't realize what they're guilty of, there's nothing for them to really receive because they don't feel really guilty. Okay, I'll take it. I'm a good person, but I'll do it. But until these people who are coming to church or are not in church, my brothers, realize that they're sinners, bound for hell, they cannot have a – that's why you have ministers, deacons, preachers, evangelists, missionaries, deacons, bishops, apostles, and so forth, men like me who've been in church for preaching for with the title for over 30-plus years, and our churches are going to hell because we don't have any power because there's never any contrition. There's never a true breaking. Everybody coming to the altar because they have a problem with their mother, their brother, their sister, or somebody, but they're not coming to the altar because they feel guilty because they're going to hell because they're guilty of sin. And until we lovingly tell people this, they will not feel broken. And then once we get back to that, and they realize they're guilty of a sin, then you can say, now, are you ready to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior? And then they'll say yes and understand what they're accepting because they realize that they're guilty. Brother Deacon.
Amen, sir. You know, you're absolutely correct. And that's the point we have to be at where we are. There is that breaking, that understanding. Amen. Well, tonight, I'm going to go into, we're getting close here, but I wanted to share real quick. Again, if you're online, if you called in at 646-668-2636, you press 1 on your keypad, and I'd like to have you share your insights or your thoughts on it tonight. But one of the things, Pastor, I'm going to ask you this, and I just want you to share on it. It's some of the questions that folk have. When we ask them to choose, we ask them if to believe, you know, people say if they come to him, that they can come just as they are. And sometimes folks say they don't feel like they're good enough. You know, they think they have to get themselves together. What's wrong with that? And why should that not hinder someone from coming to their faith in Christ?
Wow, Deacon. Because the Bible doesn't say so. We just read earlier that the Bible says in Romans 5:8 that God demonstrated his own love toward us while we were yet sinners. Christ died for us, not when we got straight. God never said when you sin that he's no longer, his blood is not for you. He didn't demonstrate his love. He didn't die for us when we got straight, when we stopped sinning. He died for us while we were in sin. His blood was shed for us when we were out there gambling, smoking, drinking, fornicating, adulterating, getting our, me too, getting my, I took a plea, just like some other brothers, I took a plea. And the thing about it is, but here's what the Bible says in Romans 10:9-10. If you confess with your mouth Jesus Christ is Lord and believe in your heart that God, now let's pay attention to this, this is God, not God the Father, this is God the Son, raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart man believeth into righteousness, and with the mouth, confession is made into salvation. You have to believe and confess. But listen to what Jesus said. Jesus said, if you destroy this body, if you destroy this temple, I will raise it back up in 3 days. What he was saying was, I, God the Son, will raise up this body of Jesus who was born in Nazareth out of the grave. I, God the Son, I will raise this. He never said the Father will raise this body. He never said the Holy Ghost will raise this body. He said, I will raise it back up in 3 days because he is God. And he said, when you believe him as God and Lord and Savior and you say it out of your mouth, that's what it takes to be saved. Because the final aspect is this. Romans 5:1, he says this, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Therefore, there's a relationship between the Father through the Son. Romans 8:1 teaches us there's therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ. No condemnation. Even if you commit another sin, you cannot be condemned for it because you're in Christ. There's therefore no condemnation means none, not one, not two, not three, none, no condemnation because of the relationship. And it goes on in 8:30 and 39, says, for I am convinced that neither death nor life nor angels nor demons, neither anything present nor even anything that's going to come in the future, nothing nor powers, neither height nor depth nor anything else in all of creation shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is Christ Jesus. So if the love of God keeps you, nothing you can do can unkeep you, because the love of God said nothing shall separate you from that love. And his love was said for you before you got right, while you were dirty, while you were sinning. That's when the blood was shed for you. So stop, brother, thinking you got to get it right first. I'm not ready to leave my family because, you know, I'm still smoking. You know, I'm not ready to leave my family because, you know, I still got this little honey on the side that I'm getting with. I'm not ready to stop. God's not ready for me because, I still drink. God's not ready for me because I haven't paid my child support. Listen, you get right with God first, and he'll take care of all of that. And he will keep you in perfect peace whose minds and hearts are stayed on him. But you got to step up, man. Don't try to be theologians overnight. Just say, look, I love God. Go hard for him. White men, black men, Spanish men, Indians, everybody around the world, stand up. Be men. Take the lead. Get back in the front again. Stop waiting for you. I was raised with my mother, but I had to act like a man. My mom could not teach me how to be a man. She helped me to be a gentleman. But being around other men of God, that will sharpen you. And just stand up, men. Just take one scripture at a time. Just one scripture at a time and commit it to memory. And get with a man of God who will teach you something and not judge you and try to make you in his own image. Let you be who you are. Be the man God called you to be. But stand up, men. Just take one scripture at a time, and then you'll be okay. Brother Deacon.
Amen, sir. Amen. Amen. And again, I want to encourage those who are listening, if you're listening online at www.blindtalkradio.com/Deacon Thomas Farr, you can always go back and listen to this broadcast again. All our past shows are archived there. And you also, if you look on the right-hand side, you can click the follow button and you get updates when we do live broadcasts or download new programs. Amen. Amen. Hey, we got another call that came in. We're going to come to you real quick in a moment here. But again, it's every man, woman, and child, husband, father, son, mother, and daughter, you have to choose. You have to come to him just as you are. You have to be able to admit you need a Savior. You have to understand what sin is. You have to understand the condition of your heart. Pastor Cornwell just mentioned a whole bunch of things that, you know, it's sin. It's disobedience to God. But again, this is where you have this opportunity to be able to, when we as Christians share the gospel message to you. It's not so much what you did. It's what Adam did and what Jesus has done. Start there. The sin that we are under condemnation for is the sin of Adam. And Christ came to remove that sin. And in our salvation and coming to Christ, then there's a work that's going to start. It's going to start to clean us up. And that's the thing we have to understand. You don't wait till you get yourself together. You can't get yourself all right and stop doing this and stop doing that. All the things you think is what's separating you from God, and that's not it. God is saying, come to me, and I'll fix you from the inside out. I'll fix you. Don't worry about you don't have a suit and tie and a shirt. Don't worry about you ain't got mini skirts and halter tops and whatever. God is going to fix you from the inside out, and your outside will start to show the change because your mind will be different. You'll see the world different. So it's come to him as you are. It's admitting that you are a sinner, understanding what sin, true sin is, not the sin that the church and man puts on folk, and then be willing to turn away from it. And that's repentance. I know a lot of you might have heard repentance before and hear it here and there from Christians. But repentance means turning around from what you're living and how you're thinking to think the way God wants you to think and live the way God wants you to live. And that's turning around, total different direction from hell unto the Savior, unto the Father. So it's as simple as that. For all those who are listening who have not been, you know, or unbelievers or never heard the pure gospel, what we wanted to do tonight was be able to share that gospel to, again, sow seed and plant seed on different types of ground, and hopefully it'll be opportunity because God is going to do the increase. God's going to do the watering. You might have heard this, and then God's going to send someone in your life in this next day, week, or whatever, and they're gonna connect with it. They're gonna say something that's gonna connect you. That the seeds that we're sowing, the words that we're saying, is gonna resonate through your spirit, and then you'll get to a place where you realize that Jesus Christ is the way, the only way to God the Father. Amen. Amen. Oh, real quick, we have our brother on the line, Pastor Larry Watkins. Good evening, sir. How are you?
Good evening, Big and Far. How are you, sir?
Excellent, brother. Good to hear your voice. We got Pastor Cornwall here with us tonight. He's hanging in there with us.
My brother, good to hear your voice too, sir.
You too, Pastor. Wow, so good to hear from you too, man. Love you so very much, and definitely good to hear from you.
Likewise.
Pastor Walker, you want to share anything tonight?
I just wanted to give a quick hermeneutic, if it will, on what Brother Pastor was saying. And it was so to the point, and it's refreshing to hear people that are going back to the Word, that are sticking with the Word, rather than giving the philosophical or the answer of the day. He was saying that that we have, this is not to get right and come to God, but to come to God and get right. The Bible says that it's not by our deeds, but it's by grace through faith. What does that mean? It means that it's nothing that you can do to ever warrant, merit, deserve the love that Christ has for you and him dying for you. It's because of his love, his grace, his unmerited favor that he did this, and that we can come to him just the way we are because we believe in him. That's our faith. So it's by grace through faith, his unmerited favor, because we believe. And because we believe, we can come freely, boldly, just the way we are. We don't have to get right. We can come because there's nothing that we could ever do to merit, to be acceptable, to be perfect. There's nothing that we can ever do. He loves us just the way we are. I tell brothers all the time, don't worry about what you're doing. Keep coming until you stop doing what you're doing. Meaning that if you keep coming, if you keep reading, if you keep studying, if you keep praying, eventually God's going to change the desires of your heart, and you're going to want something different, and then that little chick that you had on the side won't be the thing that satisfies you anymore. That drink that you take won't be necessary anymore. That little thing that you do at work that's not right won't be right anymore, because God will change your heart enough so that the things that you used to do, you won't desire to do anymore. That's what the scripture means by giving you the desires of your heart. Not that he's going to give you everything you want, but he's going to change your heart so that you want something different. Keep coming. Keep doing what you're doing until you stop what you're doing. Thank you, sir. Thank you, Brother Pastor. I enjoyed you so much.
Amen, sir. I appreciate you, brother. And again, what we're doing tonight here is we want to be able to share pure, unadulterated gospel. Because again, we're a battle. It's a battle. Satan is trying to keep people from coming to Christ. Satan's trying to do things, keep folk out of the church. They're appealing the reputations of godly men, of pastors and preachers. But again, it's the gospel. It's the gospel of Christ. It's his birth. It's his life. It's his death. It's his resurrection. That's what the salvation is about, and being born again, and our faith is based on that. And if we stick to that simple thing, as each one of us, again, it's not the job of the pastor and the elders and the ministers and the preachers. You know, there's ministry there for all of us. For every man, there's a ministry. For every woman, there's a ministry of reconciliation. There's a ministry to be able to share the gospel message. But again, you have to be discipled and trained to be able to disciple and train, or disciple and mentor. And I think that's the thing that we need to do we're in the 21st century now, and the church we're under attack. But again, the church, if we look in the book of Acts, if we look in the letters from Paul and Peter, the church was under great persecution, but yet still grew in that culture, in their surrounding. So we as the 21st century church, this should be our purpose to grow, no matter what's going on. Pastor Cornwall mentioned it before, the politics of it, all the other stuff, that Don't let that distract us from the gospel message. Because again, we walk down the street, we walk through the malls. There's folk in there who are destined for hell because they have not heard. And there's lives out there that is only going to be able to hear the gospel from you. And that should be your prayer every day. God, use me to speak the gospel to someone so their soul will not end up in eternity of hell. Amen. Pastor Cornwell, could you close us out in prayer, brother? And I thank you so much for joining us tonight, and continue to bless.
Amen. Father God, we love you. And we just glorify you right now for letting us be able to hear these words and come together as men. Father God, for decades and eons in the church, men have been pushed aside by the enemy because you know the head of the church is what you said it is. But because we are men who are supposed to be the head of our wives and the head of the women to stand up and be the kings, we've been ashamed because of sin. We've been pushed aside, and now we have to apologetically, when we do stand up as men, we have to been taught to apologize for it, Father God. It's not a competition between men and women. Father God, we just have to just do what the Bible say do. Father God, I thank you for letting men hear these words and stand. Lord God, it's not about trying to allow Satan to make us apologize for being masculine men. There are men who are feminine. God, I mean, that's who they are, and that's their business. We're not jumping on them, but we're saying we are men who are proud to be men. We've made mistakes. We've fallen, and we've gotten back up. Lord God, we're not talking about women. This is Christian men's issues. We're trying to stand up and be counted as men, Father God. No apologies. Nothing take. Just standing, Father God, taking back our rightful places, Father God, because we've seen over the last decades and eons, men have been pushed aside. Young people have taken the forefront of the church, and when women just have stood up and did all they can do. But men have got to come back and strengthen the church, to come back into the church and walk in the door with our own personalities, with our own shortcomings, with our own mistakes, and just say, God, here I am, Lord, use me. Not waiting for a title of deacon or minister or evangelist or missionary, just to do the work, whatever, Lord, you see me to do. And let us learn our scriptures, Father God. Let us learn our scriptures. Let us stop thinking as anything else that we're trying to be religious. We just want to be able to know who you are. Because the only thing that will save us is the word. How do we know that? Because the word says so. It's not about our denominational books. It's not about what church we go to. It's not about anything else beside what the word of God says. Let us return back to the word. Let us stand strong, Father God, put a conviction on the men's heart that we will hear that we need to turn back to your word and let your word be the final court of judgment that we can turn to and turn away from our ways. Lord God, bless the deacon, Father God, who has taken time out to start this ministry. Touch his heart, Father God. Touch his mind. Continue to build him up, Father God, as he's taking a stand that very few people are, very few men are, Father God. So thank you for him. Thank you for the other brother pastor who joined us on tonight, Father God. Touch him. Build him up like never before, Father God, and touch me, Father God, that I will continue to stand on your word, not to give in to denominational pressures, not to anything else but your word. Touch us, Father God, and bless our wives and our children and everybody that we come across. And bless the men that are going to listen to this program, Father God, that we will turn back to the word of God and become more deepened in your word and holy and higher in your presence. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Good night.